It's almost like if you went with your best friend on the weekend to Disneyland. That's what working with animators is like.
Hello and welcome to the Backstage Pass, where we go behind the scenes and chat with experts about what we watch, what we listen to, and what we read on a daily basis. I'm your host, Nicole Spirito, and before we get into the episode, I want to shout out our sponsor for today's episode, which is Trade Coffee. Trade Coffee connects customers to the freshest and best tasting coffee by partnering with the country's best craft roasters. Let's get into the episode. On today's episode, we have a very special guest, Emmy Award winning Kevin Kleisch. He's worked on many movies, one of them being Tangled, which is actually one of my favorite Disney movies. So yeah, Kevin, how are you doing today?
I'm great. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here. So as always, we're going to start off with our Fast Facts segment, which is just some really quick questions just to get to know the guest before we start. Answer as fast as you can, the first thing that pops into your head. If it doesn't answer the question, that's also fantastic. So, first of all, what is your name?
Kevin.
Your favorite movie?
Oh my God. Really? That's like picking my favorite kid. But I did watch Star Wars probably more times than anybody on the planet.
Okay. Favorite animal?
I'm not predisposed to any animal, but I did have three dogs at one point.
What kind of dogs are they?
My favorite was a Samoyed Chow Mix.
Favorite day of the week?
Anyone that ends in Y.
That's valid. Breakfast, lunch, or dinner?
Oh, good question. I don't eat breakfast, so probably lunch.
Okay. Favorite TV show?
Family Guy.
Good choice. And last but not least, favorite song at the moment?
Song or score?
Song.
I don't listen to music because I'm always composing, so I turn off music whenever I'm not writing.
Okay. That was one of my questions because Jack had mentioned, I think we were talking about someone else, but he mentioned that they don't really listen to like any other music because they're just so like consumed in it when they're doing their work.
I think you're going to find a lot of composers do the same thing. It's like we're so consumed by what we do and we just want to like just turn off our brains at the end of the day. And sometimes you just want to Netflix and chill.
That's always good. So starting off, I know you went to Berkeley, but how did you kind of get into film scoring and film composing?
Well, I did go to Berkeley. Yeah. I went from 1989 through 1992. And after that, I stayed on to be a teaching assistant, which was also known as lab monitor, and stayed, I believe, until the end of 1995. I made the move out to LA in 1996 and wanted to come out here to write for film. And it didn't exactly work out that way initially, but I got my start orchestrating. That snowballed into a great orchestration career, and one thing led to another. And I, you know, wound up writing for film and TV. And so you never know where your career is going to lead you.
That's very true. During your time, like when you were learning at Berkeley and then like as you made your journey to LA, was there like a composer or any kind of like genre or like any kind of score that like inspired you?
Not necessarily a score or a genre, but I mean, my big three were John Williams, James Horner, and Jerry Goldsmith. Mm-hmm. Those were the top three. Always in my mind, and those were my heroes, and it served me well when my very first scoring gig was a reboot of the TV series called Thundercats, and they wanted exactly that. They wanted John Williams meets Jerry Goldsmith meets James Horner. I didn't really have a favorite genre per se, but I mean, I always had wanted to do, you know, science fiction. That was, I'm kind of a nerd when it comes to that. So
is that like a genre you want to work more in the future? Like, is there a specific genre you want to like venture out into in the future?
You know, as a composer working in film, I think any genre that's offered to you, you say yes to.
That makes sense.
Well, yeah, all kidding aside, I mean, you know, anything that you can stretch your composing muscle in is something that you would want to say, yeah, I would love to take that on, you know, because I don't want to be limited in a one specific genre. I've already done the science fiction thing with Thundercats. I've done the princess thing to death with Disney, which is great. I would love to do more of it, but I would also love to do drama. I'd love to do comedy. I'd love to do anything that's offered to me. But, you know, we as composers, we just want to kind of venture outside of our box that we're known for.
So, of course, like, it takes a lot of time and energy and stuff like that to go into composing. But what's the, like, day-to-day schedule for you if you're working on a project?
Well, that question has two different answers, depending on what my job is. If it's a composer, it's one answer. If it's an orchestrator, it's a different answer. So as a composer, when I was working on the Disney series Sophia the First and Tangled, I would have to write at least 2 to 3 minutes per day to meet my deadlines, because it was 26 episodes per year constantly. They would be delivered to me every 2 weeks, and these were 22-minute episodes. So I would have to pretty much write about 2 to 3 minutes per day just to make sure that I could meet the deadlines. And everything was done by me. I would write, I would orchestrate, I would perform, I would play my live instruments. I would have to mix, orchestrate, deliver on Pro Tools, do all my music editing. I had no assistants, so it would always be just kind of a one-man band. So that was just the composing side for me. So that was just intense work for a good 9 years straight. Orchestration is a completely different beast. And that's also very intense, but it lasts a much shorter duration. The composer will deliver all of his cues to you, and you're expected to orchestrate the entire film. Probably within a 2 or 3 week window, maybe 4 weeks. So, each discipline involves a lot of hard work, a lot of dedicated work in front of the computer for at least 12 to 16 hours a day. So it's a lot of coffee involved.
That makes sense. We also talked a little bit in class about how now you're able to kind of work from anywhere because you can use, technology to stay in contact with people and communicate. Do you like being able to work remotely or anywhere? Or do you like kind of collaborating with people that you can like meet with in person?
Well, I've been working by myself for the good part of 25 years plus. So any opportunity to work collaboratively, I welcome with open arms. And especially after COVID, when we were all cooped up in our own bubble for 2+ years. But I think we as composers, we're all kind of masters at being social distancing people. We just know how to kind of like create a bubble around ourselves. I mean, we have our own setup at home and we don't necessarily work with people all the time. We don't have people coming in and out of our studio. It's a largely singular effort that we have to provide. Before COVID happened, we maybe would see a director or producer maybe once or twice, when they would come to our studio and they would sign off on a cue, which was about the extent of when we would get to collaborate with another human being. Post-COVID, we phone everything in. We send everything through QuickTime. We send WAV files, which is not necessarily the way, we like to do it, everything now, but that's, the state of the world now. So I would much prefer things get back to the way they were pre-COVID. And I think they will, eventually. It's slowly returning to normal, I think.
Yeah, my brother, my older brother actually works in production. And I didn't really realize it until he came home for Christmas. I think it was last year. And he was doing work like on his computer. And he was like kind of like showing me how everything worked. I don't know. My brain just like didn't really comprehend that like you can actually do production things from home. And I guess COVID kind of helped with that too, but it was very shocking to me. I was like, I didn't even realize you could do all of this. Mm-hmm. I know you said that you don't really have a score that like inspired you, but what are some of your favorite scores and why?
Anything by John Williams is a huge influence on me. I remember when I was 7 years old, just wearing out the grooves to my Star Wars records. And I say records because I went through probably 3 or 4 of them because I played them so much. Pretty much every score by him I've owned. Like I said before, I used to watch the movie Tron a lot. Wendy Carlos was a big influence on me. I was a huge fan of merging the orchestra with the electronic section, which she was a master at. And also Jerry Goldsmith was also a master at. So,
yeah, I think it's really interesting being in Jack's class because I don't think I really realized how much of an impact they have. I mean, like, it's just crazy. But we've been learning a lot about different, like, John Williams and all those people. It's just really crazy to see, like, how the score really does change.
Did he ever show you the scene in Empire Strikes Back with Han going down the carbon freezing chamber without music?
I believe he did, yeah.
Yeah, that's one of the most amazing scenes with and without music.
Yeah.
With music, it's like the most tear-jerking scene. And without music, it's like a Saturday morning cartoon.
Yeah, we also talked about in King Kong, how like when it first was like shown, people kind of thought that it was like funny and like it was a joke. But then when music was added, people were like actually scared of it. So I thought that was really cool.
Mm-hmm.
You know what else is really cool? Trade Coffee's quiz that will match you with a roast that they're so confident that you'll like. If you don't like it, they'll take your feedback and a coffee expert will work with you to send a brand new bag to you for free. Listen, guys, I consider myself a pretty big coffee person, but this coffee is so good. I've literally never had anything like it before. And the quiz is only a few questions long, too. And what I like and what you like could be totally different. They have over 450 roasts for you to try. So I am positive that you'll like at least one, or maybe a dozen, which is my case. Anyways, right now, Trade is offering new subscribers a total of $30 off your first order, plus free shipping, when you go to drinktrade.com/backstage. That's more than 40 cups of coffee for free. Get started by taking their quiz at drinktrade.com/backstage and let Trade find you a coffee you'll love. That's drinktrade.com/backstage for $30 off.
What is your favorite project that you've worked on?
Tangled.
Tangled?
Hands.
Is there any like specific reason or?
Yeah, I found working on so many projects over the years that working with animators, these guys are just the most fun people to work with, be they directors or producers or whatever. They all have the same approach to filmmaking. These guys are the type of guys you just want to go out and have a beer with at the end of the day. Whereas working on a live action film, it's like, well, it's, you know, it's fun. It's great. I really enjoy doing it, but not necessarily maybe wanting to, you know, go grab a beer with these people because they're just so fixated on getting the best numbers for their film. But it's almost like if you went with your best friend on the weekend to Disneyland and it's like, okay, let's dress up in our best costumes and let's just have a blast at the park. And you know you're going to have the best weekend there. That's what working with animators is like.
What's the process of like writing? Do like the directors and the writers kind of tell you like what they want for this specific scene and then you write it?
I didn't actually write Tangled. Tangled was written by Alan Menken. Mm-hmm. And Alan wrote the entire score on piano. So he typically does not write scores for orchestra. He writes everything on piano and he hands it to me. And it's written on pretty much 2 to 3 lines of piano, like a treble clef, a bass clef, and maybe an extra line, which is maybe a melody or maybe supporting harmony. And that's it. And it just comes to me. And then he says, you know, just go to town, you know, add what you want to add and make it work with picture. If there's anything that the directors have notes for, it always goes back to Alan first. It's a constantly evolving dynamic where it goes to him first, comes to me, I do my mock-ups, orchestration, it goes to directors or directors, they hear it, they say, well, we want this change, and either I make the change or it goes back to Alan for a rewrite, then it comes back to me again, and it just keeps going on, and you know, eventually we wind up with a finished cue for one scene, and then it finally goes to the orchestra after I orchestrate the final product, the final cue, and then that's it. Then you hear it in the movie.
Awesome. Do you have any like funny stories or like funny moments from your career?
How many hours do you have?
tell as many as you want, as many as come to mind.
I mean, it over the course of 30 years, I'm sure there are way too many I could relate to you, but Again, they mostly come down to working with the animators, and they're just a funny bunch of guys. I'd say working with Alan is the funniest guy to work with. You know, he's such an unassuming guy, yet he's got like 8 Oscars on his mantelpiece. And, you know, he's just this tiny little Jewish guy. And every time you walk in the room, he's like the biggest presence in the room.
And I know you said that you worked on Tangled, and then there was like the episode, like the little series. What's the difference between, or is there a difference between working for something that's like more short form versus like a film?
Well, the film, so the way it worked was there was Tangled the movie, and then right after that there was a little short film that they had produced. It was a 5-minute short film called Tangled Ever After. And then after that, about 4 or 5 years later, Disney decided to make a TV series out of it. But what they did was they sandwiched the TV series in between those two events. I wound up scoring the entire TV series run, which wound up being on Disney Channel. And then it's now actually running on Disney Plus. But the challenge on that was coming up with my own compositional abilities and matching what was going on picture, not necessarily matching Alan's compositional style, because I wanted to bring my own style. I didn't want to, you know, mock his style. They didn't hire me and say, okay, we want you to sound like Alan. They said, we want you to sound like you, but make it sound like you made it sound on the movie. So
in the film world, I'm kind of more interested in like writing and producing. So I find myself like thinking of ideas and I'm like, oh, I need to write that down in case I ever feel like actually writing the script for it, actually trying to make it into something. Do you also do that? Like, do you like every now and then have like a melody pop into your head and you have to like write it down, or do you just wait like project per project?
I mean, I can't tell you how many countless times I've gone to sleep and dreamt entire symphonies in my head only to wake up and they just disappear completely. I mean, I can literally hear like down to oboe 2, like oboe 2 is playing, and then it's somehow gone, like in the morning, miraculously gone out of my head. It's like, I should have wrote that down when I woke up.
When you were growing up and like at Berklee, was there a specific instrument that you were like drawn to the most, or like what was like the first thing that kind of got you into music in general?
At Berklee or before that?
Before that, and even at Berklee, if it changed up at Berklee.
Well, I started on trumpet when I was 9. My parents would tell me that I actually started on xylophone when I was 3, playing all the TV themes on my xylophone. I would just like play it back, you know, kind of like perfect pitch, just play back the themes from the TV. So that was a thing. And then I started on trumpet when I was like 8 or 9, taught myself piano at 13. And then I was a piano major at Berklee. I wasn't great. I was just mediocre. So I didn't really go down to the sheds and practice like all the time. So I practiced orchestration. I practiced writing is what I did. But after Berklee, what I did was when I moved out to LA was I bought one of every instrument off of eBay. So I bought a flute, an oboe, a clarinet, a bassoon, a French horn, a trombone. What else? Piccolo, basically everything. I bought all the woodwinds, all the brass, and I taught myself how to play everything, just because having a career as an orchestrator, if I didn't know how to play everything, if you don't know what the limitations are of every instrument, then you're not going to be a great orchestrator. That's what I did. I wanted to become a great orchestrator, so I learned what each instrument could do and could not do.
How long did it take you to learn how to play all the different instruments?
Well, it's an ongoing thing. I mean, I'm still, you know, I still practice, you know. I don't consider myself an expert at any one of them, except maybe the trumpet and the French horn, just because I started on brass. But I started playing all of my instruments on the score to my Tangled series, and which was kind of a challenge because I promised myself I would never play my instruments on my own score until I felt like I was professional enough that it could make it onto TV.
I feel like a lot of really well-known composers have like a specific like signature sound or like thing that's in most of their scores. Do you have something like that, like a signature thing, or is it just kind
of like the James Horner? Da-da-da-da. I don't think so. No, I don't repeat myself like that. I don't have a signature motif or anything. I mean, I have influences certainly from all of the composers I've mentioned. I guess I have an orchestrational style that I go back on, just from studying all of my favorites, my favorite composers. But I wouldn't say I have a compositional style that I repeat over and over.
Do you have any specific goals for the future in terms of like any kind of thing that you'd like to score in the future?
More TV work would be nice, just because when COVID hit, it kind of shut down the industry for a while. There may be a few things on the horizon for me for Disney. I'm currently going to be going back to work for the director of Tangled, the series. He and I are going to be working together again. Maybe, you know, branching off into film would be great. I haven't had much opportunity to do that, so that would be fantastic.
Awesome. Do you have any advice for both for someone who's going into film composing and then also someone who's just going into the film industry in general?
I mean, going into film composing, I mean, I can recommend that you really need to have solid credentials with technology, because there have been many, many times in my professional career where my studio has gone down and I didn't have anybody to get me back up. So it's been, you know, on me to figure out how to get the studio back up. At the same time, you're fighting a deadline and you have to deliver music and it's due like tomorrow. And you're going, why is this happening to me? So having a great grasp of technology is totally essential. Number two is having an amazing demeanor with people. I've met too many people that are just way too into themselves and too into their music. And I think the people that get ahead the furthest in this industry are the ones that always have a smile on their face and will always just say, yeah, of course I'll do that for you. And I'd love to rewrite that for you for the 22nd time. It's not about you. It's not about your music. It's about servicing the picture and servicing the needs of the director and his vision. So, you know, you're not getting into this business for what you can do with your music, then you'll do fine. You know, and you just have to be a team player.
Yeah, I'm also in a producing class this semester, and we've talked a lot about how, like, if you kind of bring a bad attitude to set or to the project in general, or you're just kind of not really determined to get work done or anything, then nobody's really going to feel that same way. Nobody's going to be motivated to get the project done or, you know, put their best efforts into it. So I think that works for someone going into the industry as well.
Nobody wants to work with a Debbie Downer.
Exactly. Well, those are all my questions. Thank you so much, Kevin, for joining me on this.
You're very welcome.
Thank you guys so much for listening. If you liked what you heard, join us next week where we'll be talking to my lovely sister, Jen, about all of our favorite reality competition shows. It's going to be a really fun episode, guys. You're not going to want to miss it. Make sure to follow BackstagePod_ on Twitter and Instagram to see more behind-the-scenes clips and other special sneak peeks. Also, another thank you to Trade Coffee for sponsoring this episode. I'm actually going to go make some coffee from Trade Coffee after this, and you can too. If you go to drinktrade.com/backstage, you can take their quiz to find a coffee you'll love, and I definitely recommend doing that right now. Anyways, thank you guys again for listening, and I'll catch you next time.